arts never sleep. Arts and entertainment in Boston and beyond. The Sleepless Critic with Jeannie Denizard.
Michael Hammond may change the way you look at life. Are you afraid of the audition? He'll show you a way to succeed. Having a bad day? He'll show you a way to lift your spirits. As the new director of development at the Company Theater, a role he calls a lifelong dream, his positivity may help others the way Company Theater in Norwell, Massachusetts, has helped him since childhood. Welcome to another episode of the Sleepless Critic podcast. With you is Jeannie Denizard, and my special guest is Company Theater's new director of development, Michael Hammond. We had such a great conversation. If you want to learn more about the Company Theater, visit companytheater.com.
So I'm so glad to have you on for the Sleepless Critic, Michael Hammond.
Fantastic. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Rock of Ages. Please tell me about what it was like to be back in the indoor setting.
So fantastic. It's emotional. It's exciting. It was so many different things. The energy in the air was just electric. You were there. You saw it. People were cheering and screaming. And the show starts with Sally Forrest's voice doing her standard announcement, which we're all accustomed to hearing. And it was just such a welcome back and to hear her voice. And I think people cheered over her entire announcement just to be back inside and to hear that familiar voice and to know that we were about to see a really fun, exciting show was just so great.
Now I know having this being the opening weekend for indoor theater, but mm-hmm. you did have some outdoor theater experiences like Avenue Q. And I think that happened last weekend too.
Yes, Avenue Q was incredible. The kids were so talented. I could not even believe it. Their commitment to what they were doing and their characters were dynamic. It was Broadway type quality coming out of these kids on the outdoor stage at the Company Theater out back. And, you know, we've had other things out there. Divas with the Twist, Donnie Norton's band, The New Band was there. And that's been a really nice addition to the theater as well as now being back inside, which is so incredible.
So getting back to Rock of Ages, you had your opening weekend and you felt like everything just went as smooth as can be.
Absolutely. It was exciting. Cast was incredible. There are so many new people in this show. And, you know, as is typical of Company Theater, they're already saying, this is my new home. This is my family. It's this overwhelming feeling that you're home and you found your family when you come to the Company Theater. Even if you did one show and you never come back, it still feels that way. I've been involved since I was 19 years old.
I was going to say, and you're familiar with that feeling.
Very familiar with that feeling. I don't know what my life would have been like without Company Theater. I would have taken a completely different path.
It's hard to replicate the kind of friendly, welcoming atmosphere you have when you're in theater.
Definitely. Such a nice group of people, too, that do theater, especially the teens. They just stay out of trouble. They have a common goal that they're working towards and they enjoy each other's company. They make lifelong friendships. I can't say enough about it. I've just seen so many kids, even this summer, just come through the doors and they leave just completely changed and confident and more themselves. It's a beautiful thing to witness.
And you said you have been with Company Theater pretty much your whole life. You'd mentioned it was a lifelong dream to do something like this as the director of development now, which I'm really excited for you for.
Thank you. Like a lot of people during the pandemic, you start to question, am I doing what I want with my life? Is this fulfilling and rewarding? You know, and like many people, I came to the conclusion that what I was doing was not for me anymore. It had run its course and I needed something new. And Jordy Sossaman, one of the founding partners of the Company Theater, had passed away. And that really kind of accelerated my thought process because her wake was attended by so many people. And I thought, look at all the lives that she touched. Like, it's immeasurable the impact that Jordy had on people. I just thought to myself, like, even if I had just a little sliver of that impact on people, I would feel great about my life, you know? So that kind of set the wheels turning. I just approached Zoe one day and I said, I will be your janitor. Like, I basically don't care what you have me do. If there's a spot for me here, I am coming. That seed was planted a while ago and it's just sort of blossomed into director of development, which I'm I'm so excited about. I'm so excited to try new things and just kind of give back what I got from this theater.
And not only that, but you have a similar positive way about you too, like Jordy had. I mean, where do you get your positive outlook from, or where do you draw it from, considering I've seen videos of you in social media and you just, I mean, I'd like to know.
You know, well, I first want to say that I'm not attempting to fill Jordy's shoes in any way. That's not a task that anyone could accomplish. She is a unique individual who I feel is still around in the atmosphere, in the joy of the theater. It's kind of interesting. If I'm upset or have a bad day, it makes me feel better to brighten someone else's day. Like, that's such a nice feeling to me, to buy someone in line a coffee, you know,
or
to just compliment someone or encourage someone to do something they didn't think they could do. I live off of that. You know, if I'm having the worst day of my life and I go out and do something nice for somebody, I instantly feel recharged, you know, and I think that's kind of how I go through life, basically.
And I hear that from a lot of comedians. They say that as well. It makes them feel better to make someone else laugh, even if they're upset or they are having issues with things.
Yeah, I tried stand-up comedy once.
Oh, you did?
I did it more for the writing aspect, but I did perform. And it was an interesting experience because you come out on stage and you look at a sea of faces who want you to succeed, because if you succeed, they have a fantastic time.
Yeah.
So you have this overwhelming amount of support that you just have to hold on to. And it was an incredible feeling.
Absolutely. Speaking of writing, I know you've written a few works with Jordy and with Zoe over the years.
Mm-hmm. I co-wrote Paragon Park with Zoe, and Zoe and Jordy and Sally and Michael Joseph for the first production and Steve Bass for the second. They worked on the music. Basically what happened was I love amusement parks and I loved Paragon Park and I went there so many times in my life. When I heard that Zoe and Jordy were thinking about writing a musical about Paragon Park, I basically selfishly just wanted to see it. I had no inkling that I would be involved or that they would want me involved. I just wanted to see that production. So got mentioned many times over the years. And one summer I designed a poster, Paragon Park, the musical, coming summer of whatever year it was. It was a long time ago. So one day Zoe just decided, years after the poster even, to start doing some research. And she said, why don't you come with me? We'll get lunch. We went to the Hull Library and the Hull Library was incredible. They provided us access to microfiche and boxes of memorabilia that they had and photographs. They had so much. They were so generous. They put us in a private room and they gave us all of this information, which was wonderful. It just snowballed from there. You know, we just couldn't stop. We were researching. We loved what we found. It did not end up being the musical we thought we were going to write because the ideas we had in mind turned out to be completely not true. So it all got shifted. We thought maybe there was this seedy underbelly to the park in that once the park was closed, like things happened at night, you know, it was going to be this dark, mysterious kind of thing. And then we find out from the owners of the park, oh no, we locked that place, sealed it like a drum at 11 p.m. when we went for Chinese food. Nothing happened in the park after hours, not a thing. So we were like, well, so much for that, you know, but they provided us with so much information, the Stone family. We were able to write a really interesting factual musical. It was 80% factual, except for about 20%, which was the love story that we incorporated.
And not only did you write it the first time around, but then when it came back around, you got to star in it too.
I did. That was a thrill. The nicest feeling about that show and being in it, to be putting on a costume and I'm by myself getting dressed and I would hear people walk down the hallway singing the songs. Or they would say, oh, we get to do that scene we love now. You know, there was just so much positivity. And then to realize we wrote a show that was really fun to perform. It was so much fun. I said to the kids one time, some of the kids were in ragtime with me and we used to make these funny backstage videos. Mm-hmm. And so I said, why don't we make videos during Paragon Park? And they said, Michael, you and Zoe wrote a show where there is no time for us to make videos. When will we do that? You know, so it was funny to be in a show where you had a lot to do. It was fun. It was nice to know that, you know, we had a hand in that, creating this really fun experience. And we had a great summer. And it was quite thrilling to be able to perform something that I helped write.
So tell me about what you're doing now. I almost want to ask you what you did before you did this, that mm-hmm. you wanted to walk away to join the company theater.
Yeah, I was the station manager at a local cable television station. I'm so grateful for it because it was also a nonprofit. I probably learned so many skills that I can apply to this job that I didn't necessarily have before. Just the behind the scenes stuff, the QuickBooks, the budgets, the managing a nonprofit was extremely helpful. And then also applying my video experience to the job as well and filming events and creating events and learning special effects. And so all of that, which at the time was a perfect job for me, you know, but 9 years later, I felt like I needed a change. And so I am going to apply what I learned there and bring it to the company theater. We can offer acting for camera classes, improv for camera classes. I've been on auditions. I've been in commercials. We basically want to provide those skills to kids who like to act or be on camera. We want them to be able to go into an audition, know how to slate, you know, what they're going to be asked to do and just to be prepared for anything. So I actually started with a class over the summer. Some of the kids were auditioning at the time. So it was nice that they got some immediate training for those auditions. And then when they came back, they would tell the other students, like, we did exactly what Michael showed us. And, you know, and I asked, did you feel more prepared? Did you do a better job at the audition? And they said, you know, their faces lit up and they said, absolutely. We want to get in touch with the local casting agencies, which we already have a good relationship with them. You know, if they're looking for a 12-year-old girl, we can say, here are 20 12-year-old girls. We want to create a talent database where, you know, you can see video auditions. We can send those out. So we kind of want to be a bridge between the local movie scene and theater. We'll provide students with the training. They'll have the skills to go out and nail professional auditions, maybe get cast in movies and commercials. And we just really want everyone to have new and exciting opportunities to excel in a career in film and theater, if that's something that they're interested in.
And let's face it, the audition process is the most nerve-wracking, hardest part, I think.
Yeah, it really is.
Say, right, like right off the bat. Because in your head, you're saying, I know what I can do for you. But then you get up there, it might not exactly be what you picture.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is that I always tell people is, having directed before, people come in and they're nervous, you know? And the reality is the casting company is nervous. They have roles to fill. So the second you come in and nail an audition and put them at ease and they know that they have options, they feel better. I always say in my mind, when I go into an audition, here I am, you can relax. I am going to be that person you need. And I think it's an interesting way to keep yourself calm, to think I'm exactly what you need instead of I hope I'm what you need.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way.
Yeah, because I mean, think about it. You have a reputation, you have a project, you want to cast the right people because that makes you look good as well. So if you find the right people, not only are you confident about your project, but it brings excitement. When I direct a show, I'm not very excited about it until I know who's in it. And then I can tailor the performances to their talents. And it is such a thrill to watch people blossom.
Oh, of course. So you've been in theater for so many years since you were a kid. And now that we had the pandemic, what was your favorite part of the theater before? And was there a change in your favorite or what you missed the most as we had a break?
I think that we take a lot for granted in life. We forget how much fun it is to sing with an orchestra or to perform on a beautiful set that someone built. Ryan Barrow does amazing sets at Company Theater, and to perform on one of his sets is thrilling. To perform with Steve Bass conducting an orchestra, thrilling. To perform Sally Forrest's choreography and Zoe Bradford's direction, it's just all so very exciting. I think we take that for granted in some ways. And as much as I enjoy it, and maybe I go from show to show to show, I think I just liked performing specific roles or the experience of getting to know a new cast. I did a Christmas show at Company Theater and just recharged my energy to be around such beautiful people and exciting kids and talent. And you're in a flow and you're doing shows and you're enjoying it and you get what you get out of it. But when the pandemic was coming, I was doing Fun Home with a very extremely talented cast, but the girl, Riley, who was playing the youngest Allison, I was re-experiencing theater through her eyes. And she had never been on a big stage. She had never performed with an orchestra, which is shocking because she's so talented.
Yes.
But she would say things to me like, are you nervous for your solo tonight? And I would say, I am a little. And she said, good, now you know how I feel. And I'd be like, okay, so she needs a little more support and encouragement in that moment. And then we were standing at the top of a staircase and we're about to walk down and make our first entrance. And she said, Michael, I've never performed on a set like this. This is a big deal. And I said, yes, it is a big deal. You're right. This is a beautiful experience. And I said, and you're about to sing live with an orchestra for the first time in a big theater on a beautiful set. It just made me really look at what we're doing and not take it for granted. We were fortunate to open and close Fun Home on the exact same night because the pandemic had really, really hit. That day, everyone was canceling their performances, but we went on because we had a feeling this would be it. And I'm so glad we did because it was one of the most exciting and electric experiences of my life. People were rebellious, excited. They knew this might be the last time they ever saw this show. And Fun Home is not a super positive, happy experience.
It's a melancholy.
Right. But mm-hmm. the audience treated it like it was a rock concert. And they
I was there. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I was there for the last performance and I felt so comfortable and wonderful. And the performance I had seen in Boston before, mm-hmm. but what I liked about watching this particular show is that you can make it so different every time you perform it.
Yeah.
The parts can be portrayed very differently and can do so much with the show. And in a way, if you know, you had to say goodbye to theater for a while, I felt like that was just such a poignant thing to do in that moment.
It was the most beautiful experience I think I've ever had. And it was also just so bittersweet because it was the last show with Jordy. And, you know, it just, how thrilling and grateful am I that I got to have Jordy's final show was Fun Home and I was a part of it. And I just think that is one of the greatest things that could have possibly happened. Just no regrets and so much love and joy. And it just was such a fantastic experience. And she loved the show. It was just such a joy to go through that process with her.
It's one of those shows that kind of sneak up to you unexpectedly. Like you're experiencing the show and you enjoy it, but then when it's over, you really look back on it and it really is thought provoking.
It's interesting. I saw it on Broadway and I really loved it. And I thought, I don't necessarily need to see it again. It was beautiful and moving. And I think of it like a film, you know, you watch a beautiful film and then you watch another film. But then when this opportunity came around and working on the show, I have such a great appreciation for it. I just think it is one of the most brilliant things ever written when you're dissecting it personally. And just, it's so much more brilliant than I realized.
And such multi-layer performances as well.
Definitely. There are so many things about the character Bruce that I played that I was thinking about it today. I almost feel like I just left my body. I personally couldn't be any part of this character because it just wasn't anything like me. I sometimes, when I think about it, it feels like it would be really difficult to do it again because I remember it as, what did I even do?
Yeah.
I feel like something else took over and performed the role for me.
And I don't often see you play parts like that, not to reveal anything, but it's very complicated, your character.
And then to hear compliments like, you should do roles like that more often is such a compliment because, you know, people think of me as a song and dance man, musical theater. It's not that I shy away from roles like that, but it was very gratifying to play that part, especially opposite such a talented mm-hmm. cast.
As far as projects go, mm-hmm. tell me about the projects you're working on now and upcoming projects, please.
Yeah, I'm devoting all of my time and energy to company theater. And interestingly enough, Zoe and I thought, why not write another musical?
So
we're writing another musical. It's a completely different project from Paragon Park, and we can't quite announce yet what it is. But Zoe is incredibly inspired by this project and watching her, it's almost like she is channeling something like I've never seen.
Mm.
She's a beautiful artist and I'm obsessed with the way she draws and paints. And so she just took out a magic marker and a gigantic pad of paper and drew what she saw in her head for the plot of this show. And it was quite impressive to watch. And her ideas are flowing through her. It's unbelievable. We're hoping that will be probably the summer of 2023. I don't think I'll be directing anything for a little bit. I'll probably take on some projects here and there. I definitely can't leave that part behind. I'm really going to focus on the video classes. I'll be working with Christy Redding. She's extremely talented with anything video related. So I'll be teaming up with her, teaching improv for camera, acting for camera, getting people ready for auditions. I think it'll be really exciting if we get someone cast in a major motion picture and they get to be on the big screen, which has happened at Company Theater. Andrew Mackin was in Mystic River, and Jonathan Togo is on CSI. Michael Morlani is a casting director for Disney. So there are lots of success stories that come out of this theater. We want to nurture and encourage that. That's kind of my goal, to really push people to excel in any way that they can.
And you can't forget about Boston casting. How convenient exactly. is that there's all kinds of films going on in the state.
Exactly. And I mean, literally like a mile down the road, they're making major motion pictures. So how could we not be a part of that? They're working on the new John Hamm movie in Cohasset.
Okay.
So I know Angela at Boston Casting, who is an incredible woman, and I don't know how she does everything she does, but with all those films going on, eventually they'll run out of actors. You know, they'll need any resource they can get their hands on, and we want to be one of those resources. We get casting notices all the time, and I'm forwarding them off to everybody I know that I think fits. Like a friend of mine, I sent a notice to him yesterday. They were looking for a butcher, an actual butcher with acting experience. And I happen to know a butcher with acting experience. So I'm thinking he might get it.
I know, some of the core requirements are so wild.
It's so specific, but every so often it's like, wait a second, that's me.
Well, thank you, Michael Hammond, the Director of Development at Company Theater, and I'm Jeannie Denizard with The Sleepless Critic.
The award-winning musical memoir, Fun Home, will return to the Company Theater stage in October. Learn more about Company Theater at companytheater.com. For more arts and entertainment news, interviews, and more, visit sleeplesscritic.com. And be sure to follow Sleepless Critic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Sleepless Critic.